chapter 12, Perek Yud Beis. Hatshuva merimes ha'adam lamaala mikol ha'shiflius nemtzayus ba'olam. Tshuva lifts a person up above all of the lowness, all of the shiflius, all that which is low. Everything that mikol ha'shiflius nemtzayus ba'olam. In other words, not only the shiflius that are found within oneself, that within oneself there are lower impulses and desires. Certainly, tshuva lifts a person up above his own personal nekudas of shiflius, his own points of failure and impurity and so on. But not only that, but tshuva lifts a person up above all the shiflis and mitzvahs ba'olam. It lifts him up above all things that are low in the entire world. In other words, he feels the person, the Baal tshuva, the person who does tshuva, because we're talking about the Baal tshuva of Iris HaTshuva, not just what they call nowadays a Baal tshuva, something that wasn't religious became religious. Look at the Rav Kook's Baal tshuva. The Baal tshuva, when he looks now at the world through the eyes of tshuva, he sees the nemichius and the shiflius. He sees, and this is what we're talking about by the first year this morning. He sees the ra for what it is. He sees the ugliness for what it is, and he understands. And therefore, he's lifted up above all of the ugliness of the world. He's above that. But at the same time, Rav Kook writes, and we've spoken about this many times over the years in Shiurim, we've learned about this, V'imzeh, and with that, with the entire recognition that comes, that Rav Kook has been speaking a lot about the last few chapters, with all the recognition, the new recognition that he has for what the side of evil is, which until now he was confused, he didn't know, he thought bad was good, good was bad, but now he has it clear. He understands, there's Tov and there's Ra. There's good and there's bad. He understands. So that's a very, very powerful recognition. It's very strong. Now, what happens to many people, and we spoke about this also, but what happens to many people is when they come to that higher perspective and they see the truth, they have a very, very powerful desire to separate themselves entirely from this world. This is not the first time in the Sefer we're talking about this. That's why we're not going to go into this in much length, because we've already discussed this in a number of places throughout the Sefer. The nature of the person is that there are now many things in the world that he sees them for what they really are, and they're sickening to him. So there is a netiyah, there is an inclination in a person to run away from the world. And there have been Baal Tshuva. Again, I'm using the word Baal Tshuva, not how it's used nowadays, but people who have done tshuva, where they couldn't exist anymore in the world. They couldn't be part of the world anymore. The world was so abhorrent to them. The world was so ugly, and they now saw all of the faults of the world that they never realized before. And not only that, they saw, and they associated themselves with those points of shiflus, with the lower things, because they know that in earlier times they also were part of that. So, Mimela, there's a strong need, an inclination to become separated from the world, that the Baal Tshuva feels, that he wants to be away from the world. Where Rav Kook says, and this is one of the difficult things in Tshuva, that while at the same time the person rises above all the lowness of the world, imzeh einenu na'aseh zar el ha'olam, he doesn't become a stranger to the world. The world might be strange to him, but he doesn't become a stranger to the world. Einenu nase zar el ha'olam. Elohu meroi meim ima yes ha'olam v'esachayim. That was Rav Kook Mamish. He lifts up the world, and he lifts up, together with him lifting himself up, he lifts up the entire world. There are some people that they take off, they lift up, and then they leave everybody else behind. You know, for some time you might have to do that. Doesn't mean there's only... I mean, there's a stage, there's a time in the life of the Baal Tshuva where he has to be away from everything. Where he has to just separate himself. It's a certain period of like naziris, of abstinence and separation, because you can't say, you know, yesterday I was involved, with this and that, and then the next day you're about tshuva and it doesn't pull you, it doesn't interest you. That's ridiculous. There must be a period of separation, of abstinence, which I once explained. We were once talking about this, that the Ishbitzer talks about the Nazir and the union of Kedusha and Tahara, the two stages of Kedusha and Tahara that we spoke about also in Eretz Yisrael. That Kedusha means the time of separation, of abstinence, and being a stranger to the world for some time. But Tahara is the higher level, where one comes back to the world and purifies the world. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, after all those years that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was away in the cave, and whatever that was by Rabbi Shimon, which were not massing the levels that he reached, and how he was disgusted with the world. And when he saw people were plowing and working the fields, when he came out of the cave with his son, with the Balaz, when he came out from the cave, and he saw that people were, and he saw that people were Isaac in this world, in Derech Eretz, and things of this world, he couldn't bear it. And he said, Tari Ma Tehela. It was unbearable to him. It was sickening to him. And everywhere he looked was being destroyed with a fire in his eyes, right? When Rabbi Shimon came out of the cave. And sof kol sof, they weren't doing aveiros, they were just working. But everywhere he looked was being destroyed. And finally, the Hamaisa was, which you know, had to do with Shabbos and covered Shabbos. But anyway, the higher conclusion that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai came to was Kama Chaviv Mitzvos HaYisrael, and he went to the city of Tveria, and he was Metaher of the city of Tveria, where the Kahanim should be able to walk because of the graves. And Rabbi Shimon miraculously showed where all the dead people were, so the Kahanim would be able to walk. And he said, Harl V'Svachish Nisa, since the Baruch Shalom made for me this great miracle, so I want to go and to do something to help the world, to fix the world. So the first stage of Rabbi Shimon's separation from the world, when Rabbi Shimon was sick with the world and gave up hope in the world, were the years in the cave. And Hashem is Baruch told him that that's not the tachlis. It was necessary for some time, but the tachlis is ultimately to come back to the world and to fix the world. And to uplift the world. But there needs to be a time in between. There needs to be a time of separation. So that's what Rav Kook is saying over here. Tshuva merimes ha'adam l'ma'alam mikol ha'shiflis nimtzaz ba'olam. Tshuva lifts a person above all of the low things of the world. Not just in his life, of the world. His life, Emel Adaber, like the Rambam says, he changes his name, he changes where he lives, he doesn't want to even associate with any of that. And but even with the world, he can't bear looking at the world anymore. But Rav Kook says, but ve'imze, but together with that, einenu nase zar el ha'olam. He does not become a stranger to the world. Einenu nase zar el ha'olam. He does not become a stranger to the world. Rav Filber, in the edition here from Rav Filber, he brings from the Arpalei Toyah from Rav Kook, which I looked over there, I didn't see it on page, it says Amud Yud Aleph, I looked in the Arpalei Toyah, I didn't see. Okay, but there are other shtiklach like this also in Eretz HaKodesh, but he brings the Arpalei Toyah, I'll just read you this sentence, you don't have it unless you have this edition. Sadiqim Be'emes, Rav Kook writes over there in the Arpalei Toyah, Sadiqim Be'emes Sichim Lias Anoshim Tivian. Rav Kook writes that Sadiqim have to be natural people. Anashim tivium. Tivium doesn't mean that that you play stickball or something. Anashim tivium, healthy people who are part of the world, people who know how to talk to people, who know how to laugh with Jews, right? Anashim tivium shakol tchunas ateva shel haguf v'shel hanefesh yu etzlam betchuna shel chayim ubriyas. That all of their physical and emotional characteristics and qualities should be filled with life and health. Filled with life and health. Not to be a person who's an ascetic, who's just separated from the world, who's strange to the entire world, there's no shaykhis to the world. I read someplace that there was a Lubavitcher Chassid who was waiting outside the, this is years ago, he was waiting outside the Rebbe's room to speak to the Rebbe, and he heard the Rebbe like sneeze a few times, something like that, some natural, you know, see, he heard the Rebbe sneeze, and the Rebbe gave a krechs. He probably wasn't feeling well, and he said that he left the chassidus. He wrote the whole thing. He left the chassidus because once he heard the Lubavitch Rebbe sneeze and give a krechts because he had a cold, it was Ois Rebbe, no longer Lubavitch Rebbe. He's just like the rest of us. We also regular mortals also sneeze and whatever. And that mistake is a very dangerous mistake, right? The tzaddikim are anoshim tivyim, the healthy, normal, natural people. What's spectacular about them is not contradicted by the fact that they're not strangers to the world. That's part of their greatness. It's part of their greatness. He writes here, you don't have this in such a cult. When the tzaddikim uplift their natural lives, they bring up the world with them. They bring up everything with them. That's the meaning of the achil of a tzaddik, of a tzaddik eating, and even of a tzaddik sneezing, whatever a tzaddik does. But The tachlis is not, we don't have convents and monasteries. We don't have such institutions, Baruch Hashem. And the Baruch Shalom wants Yidden to live together. And other rabbi, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the Talmid of Baal Shem Tov, to have su'udas together. And that lifts up the world. Let's go back inside. The Baal Tshuva lifts up the world and lifts up all of life. Oysan hanetiyas shel hachet, hemizdakikais bai. All of the inclinations that led him to sin, meaning all the powerful drive and passion and cheshek that he poured into his aveiros, the Baal Tshuva. All of that are now refined within him. They become refined. He doesn't lose. We spoke a lot about this in an earlier program. He doesn't lose his cheshek for life. His cheshek for life lifts up life. Instead of being dragged down, it lifts up. Harotzain ha'az, ha'poyreitz kol gvul, shagarm lachait. That powerful will that broke down all barriers and caused him to sin, before tshuva, this person had all those koiches. Like Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, chalchel araisa. In other words, when he saw what kind of koiches the man had, that Reish Lakish had from that earlier time of his life, that time of his life where he was Isaac and listius and stealing and other things. And Rabbi Yochanan was telling him that strength, chelchel araisa, means that your strength, I don't want you to go to a monastery. I don't want you to leave the world. I want that strength should be l'araisa, should be for Torah, should be for serving the Baruch Shalom, which is the whole yisayid of Torah Sabal Shem. Haratzon ha'az, ha'paritz kol gvul, the very same strength that was used to break down all boundaries and barriers, shagaram lachet, that caused this person to first sin. Hu ba'atz meinasa koyachai. This itself becomes a living force, u'poyel gedoilus min esgobus l'tavil l'vrach, that's able to achieve tremendous and exalted things of Taiva and Bracha in the world. What's the meaning of a Jew on Purim drinking L'chaim? I'm not talking about Stam, a person that drinks L'chaim all year long too. But when an Eilech Yid drinks a L'chaim on Purim. So I mentioned, we were talking about it earlier this week. I don't remember if I was talking to the Chabura. We were talking about this, that you see it's an interesting thing, how you would think that the last thing you would do on Purim is drink. It's the last thing you do, because that's what got us into trouble to begin with, was drinking and being part of Achashverosh's party, right? So, Right. So you would think that that's the last thing we should do. Drinking on Purim, so I explained on Monday that we see that it's interesting because we fell asleep Shavuos night by Kabbalah Satara, so the Magen Avraham brings the minig that we stay up Shavuos night to fix what went wrong the original Shavuos night. How do you fall asleep? And Hashem's going to give you the Torah in the morning, you fall asleep. So we fix that by staying up Shavuos night. So you would think that the way to fix what went wrong in Shushan, the way to fix that would be by fasting. By fasting and drinking, forget about drinking. There shouldn't be any eating. It should be fasting, because the whole problem was that we were partying with Ahasuerus. You would think that the whole Indian of Purim would be not to eat and not to drink and not to party. So I explained the other day that the chiluk is that Kabbalah Satara was tshuva, but it was tshuva meyiru. We were still frightened, and Hashem held the mountain over our heads. There wasn't any real transformation of ourselves. And therefore, in that first stage, you have to be careful to stay completely away from what brought you down. So we saw that we fell asleep, and we have to fix that and stay awake through this night. Because in that earlier stage, you have to be very careful to separate yourself and to abstain from the thing which caused problems. That's tshuva when it's on the lower level of miyira, of from fear. And when it's in that state of fear, it's explained in Tanya, which the Indian of Vayhi B'Shalach Paro, Esa'am, that's why the Tanya explains, when you feel that Paro is still hot in pursuit, you better run. You can't go to the place where you first got messed up. You have to run away from Mitzrayim. That's not the Tachlis. That's Shuvah Meyira. Purim is a higher Madrega, because Purim is Kimu V'Kiblu. On Purim, we accepted the Torah me'ahava, with love. And ahava, tshuva me'ahava, is idonis nasan l'kizachis. Then the averis are transformed. That's what Rav Kook is talking about, where there's a total transformation, where you don't separate yourself from life. Adarabha, you lift up everything in life. So when a person takes a drink of wine on Purim, he says l'chaim, and he says l'chaim l'brocha. It means that these kaiches of what? Of these wild kaiches inside of a Jew that originally brought us down in Shushan, into the lowest thing in Shushan, where we were almost killed because of that. So on Purim, we don't run away from the drink. On Purim, we don't run away from the wildness. On Purim, we enter into it, but we enter into the Kedusha of the Tahar, in holiness. And if it spills over into something unholy, then that's an Aveira. That's an Aveira. But those people who think that there's something disgusting about men, you know, about the guys drinking on Purim and having labedik on Purim, they don't get it. They don't get it. There's nothing else to say about it. They don't understand the inyan of what Purim is all about. In the faket, Purim is davke, the kaiches, those kaiches of impurity are uplifted. And that's the inyan of l'chaim, what Rav Kook is saying here, that the very same will and strength that broke down all barriers, that's Adliyada, that broke down all barriers that caused you to sin, now are this very same strength and Ratzon Ha'az, the same strength and energy becomes what? Nasa Kaya Chai, a living force. Upayal Gedoilus in his Govis, the Tevel Levrach. And it's able to achieve unbelievable things. The Torah of Racha. That's what we were talking about this morning, Pizetzna, about the excitement in being a Jew. Purim is true. The Jews say Purim is not every day. That's true. There's an expression like that we have. You have to be careful. The Purim is not every day. But without Purim, there are no days. Without Purim, there can't be any days at all. Because the whole meaning of Purim is Asher Yishlo Toa Yehudim Heima B'Saneim. What do you think? It just means beating a couple of Malekim and Shushan. Ashish to Yehudim Heima B'Saneim means tshuva. It means that you take control of your enemy. The highest madrega of tshuva is not that you have to run away from the world, it's when you take control of the world. Those who are constantly making speeches about, like we spoke about this morning, they're constantly making speeches about how this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. Everything in the world is bad. It's true that in the earliest stages of tshuva, a person has to see the ugliness in the world, like you're learning. You have to recognize it for what it is. You have to see these things of shiflis, the shiflis, and you have to rise above the shiflis. But the tachlis is to rise above the shiflis and then to fix it. And to fix it. How does one fix it? One fixes it by, it's a scary thing, but one fixes it by entering into it, but entering in a way of kedush and tahara. Therefore, gedayla halagimish makarevis and salavavis, but the Gemara says that a drink is more powerful than all the Nevi'im and the Nevi'is, what they couldn't accomplish when Jews sit and have a l'chaim on Purim, that accomplishes that. What all the Nevi'im and the Nevi'is couldn't accomplish, having a drink on Purim accomplishes. It doesn't mean accomplishing. All the Nevi'im and Nevi'is were screaming about staying away from bad things. If you look at the Nevi'im, they were screaming about, don't do this, don't do that. They were talking about that first stage of tshuva. Purim is already something else. Purim is after Nevuah. And Purim is saying, l'chaim. Purim is saying, don't be a stranger to the world. Purim is saying, fix the world. It's tshuva me'ahava. It's ad de'leyada ben Aruham l'baruch Mordechai. Because on the highest level, there's no difference between Aruham and Baruch Mordechai. On the highest level, everything in the world is Baruch Mordechai. Everything is good. But in the initial stages of tshuva, you better make sure there's a difference between Aruham and Baruch Mordechai. You better make sure. The whole year, you better know that it's Aruham and Baruch Mordechai. Only a Jew who the whole year is struggling with Aruham and Baruch Mordechai, on Purim he could say, Ad liyodah ben Aruham and Baruch Mordechai. But if the whole year, to you, is the same thing, Aruham and Baruch Mordechai, so what, it's a chachma then you come Purim, you take a drink, and you say, Ad liyodah ben Aruham and Baruch Mordechai. The whole year you don't know. The whole year you don't know whether you should go to Shir, or whether you should go to the movies. You're not sure, right? The whole year. Then comes to Purim, and you say, Ad liyodah, Ad liyodah, Ad liyodah. Don't mean the whole year is Ad liyodah. But if the whole year you know the difference between Aruham and Baruch Mordechai, the whole year you're working on being an Erlich Yid, then when it comes to Purim, the Rebbe Shlom says, now come into this world of Aruham, and I'm going to show you that you can lift up everything in the world mamish with a l'chaim. That's the tikkun of the whole world, and that's the Indian of Jews dressing up like goyim. So a strange thing was a dressing up like a goy. But if a Jew, you'll forgive me, if a Jew the whole year dresses like a guy, then what's the chachma mean, huh? What's the chachma on Purim to dress like a guy? No. So now you like make a... Huh?
On Purim they just like
Gidin. Like Gidin, I know. The Rapshus has said that... That's what the Rapshus has said is Yom Kippurim. No, he said the Rapshus says Yom Kippur, is Yom Kippurim, it says in the Tikkunim, is Yom Kippurim. So the Rapshus said, because you know why? Because he says on Purim, all the Yidin dress up like Goyim. And on Yom Kippur, all the Goyim dress up like Yidin. He says, on Yom Kippur, everybody chuckles and closes their eyes. He says, on Purim, everybody dresses up like Goyim. And Yom Kippur, the Yidin, he says, on Yom Kippur, the whole year, the ones who are Goyim, they all of a sudden dress up like Yidin. He doesn't mean Goyim, Amishchas. But we understand that if a person dresses like a Goyim, acts like a Goyim the whole year, so then what's the Chachma then? Because on Purim, he puts on like a Haman's outfit or something, he puts on, you know, some uniform, the whole year he's not Adlo Yada the Gehid. Adlo Yada is the whole year you can't look at Haman. You can't look at Haman, it makes you sick. And on Purim, when the Baruch Shem says, Chai Vinish Lev Sumi, to come to Ohio Madrega, to be intoxicated with Kedusha, to be intoxicated with the Pnimius, that everything is Toiv, everything is good, the world is Gevaldik. So then on Purim, that person who the whole year has clear boundaries and borders between Aruham and Baruch Mordechai. Someone told me that, someone said that there's somebody in the neighborhood that's making a costume party, and it says there, Purim night, Thursday night, a costume party, it says there, booze and other little shyness, and men and women are supposed to get dressed up to disguise from each other. These are Shem Shabbos people. Husbands and wives get dressed up, masquerade to come, not to know who they, not to know, to get dressed up. That's Ad Liyada? That's Vashti Nachashvesh, Mifashtetzach, you understand, right? That's Vashti. That's not, that has nothing to do with Esther Malka, it has to do with Vashti. So the whole year a person is Vashti. The whole year it's Adlo Yada Ben Aharon Baruch Melachai. And then you make a party per night. You invite your friends for booze and for girls, and it's called Adlo Yada. What kind of Adlo Yada? Adlo Yada is a yontif for Jews who the whole year know that there's a difference, and make sure to draw a line, and know where not to cross over. And those Jews on Purim, they don't lose it either. On Purim, they don't lose it either. And when they have something to drink, it brings out Mishnech Nesiyah and Yetzei Sod, and the sweetness and the holiness comes out of that Jew. And more Torah comes out of that Jew. Because everything is lifted up, and he wants to lift up the whole world. And the drinking itself becomes part of the Aliyah of the whole world. But for the person who doesn't know any boundaries the whole year, and he doesn't know there's a difference between Aram and Baruch Mordechai, so when he drinks on Purim, it becomes ugly, and it brings down the world, and he makes cracks, and then he makes bad comments, and he throws up and acts like an idiot. That's not Purim. And that taka, the women should be upset about. And the men should also be upset about. And the tzaddikim, Rabbi Nachum, screamed on that unbelievable. So then you're going to say, but Rabbi Nachman, don't you know it says in the Gemara? Chayav Nishlif, it says in the Gemara, you're supposed to drink on Purim. Rabbi Nachman, oh, it says that in the Gemara. That's the whole year if it's Ad L'Yoda. The whole year if it's the Yoda. Then it comes to Purim, it's Ad L'Yoda. But it's a Madrega to reach that. But the Tachlis is that. That's why the Rambam brings the halacha, that all the Me'adim, all the Yom Tovim are going to be bottled. In the end, Purim is going to be the biggest Yom Tov. Whatever that means in halacha, the Rambam brings it. The Purim is the biggest Yom Tov. What does that mean? Because the biggest Yom Tov is when we're not going to have to run away from the Tavis anymore. We're not going to have to run away from the Yitzhak anymore. It's not going to be Vayhi B'Shalach Parvel or Nachem Elokim when the Baruch Shem have to say, don't go past that neighborhood by Mitzrayim because it brings back bad memories. Don't go over there. Stay away from this, stay away from this, stay away from there. Right, the biggest yontif is going to be is Purim, and at the end of time, because Purim is, you don't have to stay away anymore. It's because then we'll be able to lift up everything in the world. That's what Mashiach said. It's not going to be anymore. Don't go here. Don't go here. Don't go here. This is no good. This is no good. This is no good. This is no good. That's necessary, because there has to be that time. This world is a time mostly of Adi Yoda. You have to know the difference between Aharon Baruch Manachem. You have to make sure you know the difference. And Purim, we taste unbelievable. On Purim, Achmerdik Elachayim, we taste of what's going to be in the end. Of what's going to be in the end. When that famous Maisa from Kosher Samagin, I'm sure everybody remembers, I'm going to just say it, B'kitzer Mamish. I'm not going to, the Pratim are beautiful, but since everybody knows it, I don't want to say the whole thing. But the Maisa, there was a Yid that he came, it was a Tzibrochan Yid, but he didn't have any money, he had bad mazel, and he came to Kosher Samagin Purim. And he walked in, everybody brought the Rabbi Shalchmanis and his Yid came empty-handed, and the Kosher Samagid said to him, Yankel, what's the matter with you? Where's the you don't, you come to your Rebbe, you don't bring Shalchmanis. Sister Shalchmanis, I don't have for the children of my wife to eat. I don't have anything. I would love to bring Shalchmanis. I don't have anything. So the Rebbe says to him, first of all, Yankel, lift up your head. So Yankel says, what? And he says, say a good Purim, a Feilchen Purim, Rebbe. He says, a good Purim. He says, no, not like that. Say a good Purim, a Feilchen Purim. He says, I want you to go, and I want you to bring me Shalach Manas. And it's a good Purim. So Yankel goes out, he goes to this grocery store. So he comes to this place, you understand, he hasn't been there for the last year or two because he's embarrassed, because he has a cheshbon there, right? He has a long cheshbon of what he owes. He doesn't go to the store. So he walks into this place, and he comes in there, and when the owner, the Chandvani, the store owner sees him from outside, he says, ah, there's that Yankel. Ooh, I'm going to give it to him, right? Because he never came to pay. But the Yankel walks in, and the guy's about to give it to him, and he says, Yankel, this is a Freilchen Purim, hate this Purim, a good Purim, right? And he starts to say, look at that, he says, I need this. He points to the shelf, I need some of this, I need wine, I need honey, I need fruit. And the guy is so, the store owner is so taken, he never saw, he, all he knows is Yankel for the last 50 years walks like, you know, and he's so taken by it, you know, and a Freilchen, a Lichtigin Purim, and he fills up his thing with his basket with all kinds of good stuff, and Yankel goes back to the Rebbe with a Shalach Manas, and he comes in, and he says, Rebbe, I'll get Purim, a Freilchen Purim. So the Rebbe says, the Rebbe said to him, that's good, Yankel, that's good, you brought me Shalach Manas, this Taka Lichtigin Purim, now go outside and tell the whole world it's a Freilchen Purim. Go outside, tell me the whole world should be a Freilchen Purim. So he goes out and he says, what kind of problem is it just that I made the Rebbe Shalchmanis? What about my wife and children? They don't have what to eat. So he goes back to the grocery. He comes in and he starts to scream, and everybody's like lifts and they're all excited. You know, he's such a simple guy. And he gets meat and fish and chalas and dalas. And then he says, what am I going to bring my kids to eat? But they don't have nice clothing. It's not nice, poor. He goes to the tailor and he says, I need some pants. I need dresses. He owes him money from 10 years ago. And the guy, good perm, he starts to dance over there in the place, and he gives him a whole bunch of clothing. He says, you write on the cheshem, don't worry. He says, how are you going to pay? He says, what are you worried about? Today's perm, we'll talk about it after perm, right? So then he comes home, and he already went to the toy store. He bought all kinds of things. He comes, and the kids can't believe it, because they weren't going to have a suit. There wasn't going to be anything. He brings his wife a dress, the kids, Givaldi. Not every day is Purim, right? So he's got a lot of problems now. Today it's Shushan Purim. You know, Shushan Purim is when you're sober, right? And you wake up, So he's got a lot of problems. So what does he do? He's got chayvus, big chayvus. So he walks over to the bank. He goes over to the bank. Freilich and Shushan Purim. So the bank, you know, the banker says, what is it, Yanko? What are you? He says, listen to me. He starts to speak very enthusiastically. He says, look, I know that right now I don't have money to start a business, but I have ideas. And he started to say certain ideas. He had an idea for a business that he was thinking about for the last 20 years, but he never could get the strength or the courage, right? And he's thinking about, he said, I had this idea, I'm thinking about, and he sits down with the individual, he says, well, you have an idea, okay, you schlepper. He says, no, listen to me, I have this idea. And the man says, all right, and he listens to him, he says, Taka Givaldic idea, Yankel has this great idea. And he says, I can make it work, I'm going to make it happen, you'll see. And the banker was very taken by his enthusiasm, and he made him a loan, and he started this business. And the ma'aseh was that he became a merdiger bal tzedakah, that he was able to pay up, of course, all the chayvus and all the stores in a short time from this business, and he paid back the bank, and he used to have every Purim, he would come himself to bring a big shalach manis to the Kuzhin Samagid and say, a good Purim, a Ferchen Purim. Kuzhin Samagid used to say over the praises of this yid. And you understand that the tzaddik mamish took him out from that place. He took him out from that place of darkness and of being separated from the world, and he brought him into that place to give him confidence, to give him strength, and to make him aware of the kaychas that he has, and in the world, and to lift up his wife, and to lift up his kids, and to lift himself up, and if you're not lifted up yourself, you can't help anybody else. You can't help anybody else. If somebody, you could talk to a bacha. The bacha walks in. He looks like, you know, you guys, 18 years old, he looks like he's carrying like Atlas, you know? It's like he's carrying, 18 years old, like you're wondering, what do you have? So I said, what are you doing? I'm in yeshiva. What yeshiva? It's yeshiva. What are you learning? Bava Basra. You happy? Mm-hmm. All right. What do you want to do? I want to be in Kiruv. See, you got the right attitude. You got the right attitude about Kira, that's good. You wanna bring Yidden, you gotta be happy about your Yiddishkeit, you gotta be excited, you know, you gotta be labored, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to necessarily, pull out a guitar in the night or something like that, but you gotta, you know, a little bit something, you know. You happy? You said? You like your parents? What about your brother and sister? So the cousin of Samagi took this uncle and he said to him, my uncle, a good Purim, a Freilich and Purim. Purim, a Yid Mamish can come back into this world. Not to run away from the world. He brought him into the world, Mamish. The cousin of Samagi brought this Yid into the world. Into the world. But in the world, to bring the world up. That's the side of Purim. That's what it means. Elachayim on Purim. Elachayim and Yishlev Sumi B'Purim. Adol Yadav and Arham and Baruch Mardechai. Because a person can go around this whole life saying, the world is not good, this is bad. Nothing is good. And this guy, this Yankel, had an idea, a business idea in his head for 20 years. He had this thing in his head. But no one's going to believe me. It's not going to work. I can't sell it. I can't do it. I can never. You have people that did the same job You see, people who are talented, smart people, they're sitting at some job for 30, 40 years, and you know that the person can have much bigger hatzlacha. It was one teacher. No. Because they never went to Kirsten Samagat on Purim, right? They never had that, they never lived mamish what Purim could do to a person. The Purim gives a person all kaychas and nefesh in the world. Not to run away from the world, but to run to the world and to lift up the world. That's what Rav Kook is saying here. Hu ba'atz menase kaya chai. He becomes a living force. U'poyel gedolus v'nezgavus l'tayva l'vracha. And he's able to accomplish great, great, exalted things l'tayva v'l'vracha. And bring all kinds of good and bracha. That's why when Yidden drink a l'chaim, they don't just say l'chaim. When someone says l'chaim, you have to answer back, right? L'chaim tayv m'l'shalom, or l'chaim u'l'bracha. You don't just say l'chaim. You say l'chaim tayv m'l'shalom. L'chaim tayv m'l'shalom. My daughter was coming back from the city yesterday from school. Yesterday, I think they had a holiday, the drinking holiday. Yeah? So I was thinking, everybody's dressed up in green. So I was thinking, look, this year it came out. I don't know when it usually comes out, because I don't normally know when they have that. I'm not in the city, and I don't see anything. I don't know. But my daughter said that, yeah, she was on the train, and they're talking on the train all about how they got drunk last night and drunk today, and what we're drinking tonight, and what we're going and do all this crazy stuff. And she said she just wanted to run away. She didn't know what to do over there. So I was thinking, look, how's the Hashem? It came out right next to Purim. Right next to Purim. And especially this year, when a couple of hours later, every one of us is going to be standing singing L'cha Daidi, right? And what does it mean for you to drink? Ma beinenu ubeinehem. What's the difference between Ad L'yada ben Arham L'baruch Mordechai? What a gewaldig schus to be a Jew. Well, that means a schus. And they think that we're running away from life. They think that we're running away from reality. And that they're mamish part of reality. To drink until they're sick because they're running away from life. That's why they drink to begin with. What are they drinking for? Because they're happy about life. But everybody's sitting in the bar talking about good things. That's what they do. I was never in a bar, but I imagine that they're not sitting there in the bar. And he says, one says to the other, life is so gewaldig. I don't think that's what they're talking about. Life's like a l'chaim, l'chaim. That's what they're talking about. Life stinks. I hate my parents. I hate my wife. I hate my kids. I hate my pet. I hate my job. I hate you. L'chaim. It's l'chaim. That's just l'chaim. It's all mamish in that place of tumah. There was a chassid of Alter Rebbe. There was a chassid of Balatanya. He had there were tuchsim of Balatanya. There were yedidim mamish, dearest friends. So they didn't just drink on Purim. They used to drink every Thursday night. Not one glass, not a glazel, a glass of mashke. The Russians know how to do that. Can you do it? So a glazel schnapps every Thursday, and they would verbrennen, the two of them. They had this. There was a kretschmer, like an inn. Thursday night after a hard week, they would come there, and they would drink this whole. Each one have a whole glass of schnapps, and then they would close their eyes and they would sing. It was a verbrennen every Thursday night. They would verbrennen, and some Torah and some Meisim, right? And unfortunately, one of the chaverim died. One of the chaverim died. You understand? He's very tzibrochim, the other friend. The next Thursday night, they see he comes into the kretschm, into the inn. He orders two glasses of schnapps. He sits there with a glass of schnapps, and he puts at the same table across from him where he always sat with his friend for 40 years. Puts another glass of schnapps, and he drinks, and he's singing and telling all the stories and crying. At the end of the night, he drinks the other glass. He drinks the second glass, puts down the whole other glass. So some of the Yidden came over to him and said to him, "Brother, Barrel, what are you doing? Is your friend, So he said, "Well, just because he was nifta, we shouldn't drink together? That's what he said. We shouldn't drink together because he was nifter. Okay. So it's going like this for a while. One Thursday night, they see that he's sitting there with one glass of schnapps. So the guys come over to this chassid and they say, what's going on? He says, oh, you wouldn't believe it. He says, I was at the doctor the other day. My wife made me go to the doctor, and the doctor said that I can't have one more drink. So this week I only poured for my friend. What can I do? I can't have it. It's not good for me. So I poured for my chav at the end of the night. L'chaim, l'chaim. That's what it means to be a chassid shehid. To explain that, how do you explain that? And if it was told, if the ma'ase was told over by Tzemach Tzedek, you understand it's not stam. Tzemach Tzedek told over the ma'ase. It's not stam. Tzemach Tzedek said in the chassidus on this inyan, what that means. For you not to give up hope. And not to give up hope, not to run away from the world. Not to give up hope. That's why Rav Kook writes over here, Ugedula shel chayim, the greatness of life, Mimkor HaKadosh HaElyon, from the source of exalted holiness, Chayfefes Tomer HaLatshuva. Not darkness, not death, but Adrabba, by the Baal Tshuva, this constantly hovering, the Gedula Shel Chayim, the greatness of life, the joy of life, from the source of holiness, is Chayfefes Tomer HaLatshuva, is constantly hovering over Tshuva, meaning it's always attached to Tshuva. The joy of life and the gedula shel chayim, nimkor hakodesh haelyon, chefefes tomer al tshuva, kol noisei digla, and all those who are carrying the banner of tshuva. There's always geshmak. It's always leibedik by these Jews. It's always geshmak. Always exciting to be with those people. It's always good to be in the presence of that person. I remember Rav Shlomo Feifel, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Hey, he was such a geshmaki yid. I mean, in Menachem, you remember some of the guys from Menachem. What a geshmaki yid to be in his presence. The second you walked into the room, he didn't have to lift up a glazer. He was in Gansna L'chaim. When you were next to him, it was every second was L'chaim. That's how he was. He was such a geshmaki yid. You walked in with whatever Indian problem, but when you were with him, it was all nothing. It was just l'chaim. It was just feeling good. And I mentioned once to you before, a few years ago, that by his levaya. So one of the persons who was saying hesped was talking about how Rav Feifeld enjoyed a good joke. Now I remember, even though I wasn't a Talmud there, but I had a close relationship with him, and I remember, it wasn't on one occasion, he would sit down and say to me, Moshe, I want to talk to you, and I would say, what is it? He said, there was a Polak, an Italian. I had conversations like that with him. So, at the Hesped, somebody was saying, one of the Maspidim said that Rav Feifeld really knew how to enjoy a joke. He knew how to enjoy a joke. So there was a yeshiva bach next to me, not from Shayash, but a yeshiva bach. I said, what's he saying? What's he saying? He's a lights? He's a lights? He's saying Rav Feifel was a lights? Like he had all upset the bach. No, he was saying that Rav Feifel was alive. He was alive and he brought everybody next to him back to life. He brought you back to life. And the bach, old Nabach, didn't understand. He doesn't know what Leitzon is. And what. Nothing Leitzon is. That's called Hatzalah. It has the iciest of lights of Leitzanus in it, but it's Hatzalah Snefashis. Hatzalah. Meaning saving people. Because the whole world is so depressed and they're so out of it. And here they met a Yid that was filled with life and a rotzen to give and a rotzen to live. And even when he was so sick, I remember I would go to see him and the way he would laugh. And it was unbelievable. He was laughing, it was hurting him to laugh. He would tell a joke, and he would start to laugh, and it was hurting him. Because he was in such pain with his back and everything. But to laugh, and the way he laughed was so geschmack. That's That's what Rav Kook is talking about. And he loved Rav Kook. And Rav Kook's Tyrus too. And that's what Rav Kook is talking about. That on this Jew, the Gedula Shel Chaim, Imkur HaKodesh HaElyon, Chayfefus Tomer HaLetshuva, Al Kol Noisei Digla. The greatness of life from the source of all holiness is constantly hovering over Tshuva and all those who carry her banner. Shehem Haim HaSoilus Shel Kol HaChaim. They are the finest, the choicest, the elite of all life. Shel Kol HaChaim, you think these are the ones that have no shaykhis to life. Oh, these are the religious ones that have no shaykhis to the world. Shehem Hem HaSoilus Shel Kol HaChaim, they are the finest, the choicest flower, right? The finest of the entire world. Hakayrim letikunam. That are calling out to the whole world to be fixed, to be better, to be healthy, to be good. La'asaras mechshoilim. They're calling out to the world to remove all the obstacles, to take away all that's causing people to be broken and hurt. U'l'shiva el teva. They're calling the whole world back to nature, to natural life. They're not telling you to get away. Why is it everybody runs away when they come to class, they come to yeshiva? They're all afraid because they think the Rebbe's telling them to go away from the world. That's why the boys aren't happy. But the first time I remember in sixth grade, we had a Rebbe that played ball with us. Because until that time, all the Rebbeim were European. I only had European Rebbes. Then we had this American Rebbe in sixth grade. His name was, I remember, Rabbi Shapira. In sixth grade. First of all, he spoke English like normal. It was a pelotas when we came in the first day. And it sounded like funny, the way he said the words in the Gemara. It was like we say it. And then I'll never forget, or at least until I still have my brains a little bit, that Friday morning, he came in with a big. First Friday morning, came in with a big. And it was a beautiful day. It was in September. He came with a big, and he said he had some snacks and different things. We're going to go to the park, and he had a Spalding, you know, for punch bowl. And we're going to go to the park across the street. We're going to play punch bowl. We sat there. We were baffled. We thought it was a plot. We're going to play. I mean, we used to get recess. And and recess meant that your Rebbe would look at you with a horrible look of disdain and say, "Okay, go ahead, and you better be back." That was recess, right? And go, "Woo! You're gonna have crazy." But this—he's coming with us. Not only that, we had like off, like we're gonna take off an hour that morning. And went to the park, and I'll never forget that. You know, with everything, he was playing with us, and he was mamish kinder than his shamas. It was kinder than neshamas. Unbelievable. And I remember that he would talk. So I remember one time we were learning Shnayim Aruchs, and I remember he started to talk about Joe DiMaggio. And he said, "Boys, I want to tell you something. I want to talk to you about a great person." So you know, he's going to talk about, you know. So he said, "Joe DiMaggio." And he started to describe this, you know. He said, "Joe DiMaggio, he made it look easy. He never had to make these great plays. You know why? Because he was always there by the time the ball got there." Which is true. Joe DiMaggio always was, everything was like easy. Because he had such a timing, right? But to us, like, it was such an amazing thing that he's in the world. And that he loved learning. And he spoke to us about, and he loved Torah. And he gave us all the Torah. Beautiful, beautiful. But he was in the world. He was in the world. And we felt that he was part of our lives, and it was such a chiddush to us. And I remember everything he taught us, because he was with us, he wasn't away from us, and we felt in him a joy of life. And he would laugh, and he was able to enjoy a good story. And it was a chiyus for us. That's before there was such a thing as kiruv. There was no such thing as kiruv, and they didn't in those days. They didn't call rabbis superstars. Like they have now, rabbis could wear T-shirts that say on it "superstar." In those days, they didn't have on it "superstar rabbi." He was just a yid, you know, a yid. I don't know if he was a Talmud Chacham or not. I don't know, but I remember what he taught us. I remember what we learned with him, because he gave it over. He gave it over in that way of chiyus, and we felt l'shiva el teva hatayva oisher ha'amiti. A lot of the boys, they're afraid because they feel when they come to yeshiva, yeshiva is the time of my day when I'm away from life. And the Rebbe is a person who takes me out of the world, away from the world. And he doesn't know that Torah is Torah's chayim mamish. And it's in the world. There's nothing as much in the world as Torah. But if you come to identify with Torah and with the Rebbe as being apart from the world, then you're set into this horrible conflict, this painful conflict. It's you versus the world. It's Torah, Yiddishkeit versus the world. And then you have terrible Agmas Nefesh, which is we see the victims of that Mahalach in life, where there's a conflict between Torah and the world, and who's going to win. And as the world becomes more interesting, it's getting harder to win. It's getting harder for Torah to win. When we were kids, the world wasn't this interesting like it is now. Right? But now it's getting really interesting. So how do you, if there's a conflict, then you have to make a choice between the Torah and the world. It's very hard. But when a person, Rav Kook says here, that these are the Jews, L'asos Mechshama L'shiva El Teva HaTayv HaOysher HaAmiti. And Davka, these, the tzaddikim were constantly working on tshuva. Constantly in the parasha of tshuva. El Ha'Elyoni is Anizgova HaChovshis Be'emes. They live in that great, great, exalted chavshis be'em, which is the world of freedom, of being free, be'emes, truthfully, truly, truly free, not chained and bound. Haru yiladim ha'ilu lamala al pi mekari haruchani b'yisayda b'tselim elokim, that befits a person who is rising higher and higher. Al pi mekari haruchani, in accordance, and befits a person in accordance to the root and the source, the spiritual source of his life, which is that he is B'Tselem Elokim, he isn't created in God's image. And the Ramchal says, we don't really know much about God. After all this stuff has been written, we know very little about him, because we're not really allowed to even talk about him. And even the Midas of Hashem, of course, when we talk about the Midas, like the Rishonim, the Rambam, and Rabbeinu B'Chaya, and Rabbi Yehuda Levi, and all the Rishonim are talking about, what does it mean, the Midas of Hashem? We don't know what it means to say that God is kind. What does it mean that he's Chanan V'Rach? It means that he's not the opposite of that. We can't define what he is. But the Ramchal says, but that he's an Elokim Chaim, he's a living God, is that we should accept that truth of Kamashma, whatever that means to you, that he's alive. So, the Baal Tshuva that Rav Kook is talking about, he is true to the Tzelem Elokim. He is loyal and faithful to the image of God, who's a living God. God is Leibedik. Paro was looking up God in his book, and he couldn't find it, because all the gods in Paro's book were dead. They were not alive. There were statues, and you can't find them. You go to some yeshivas where the Rebbe gets up and talks about also a God that's dead, and the boys run away from that. Mi Hashem, Asher Ashma V'Kaylei. Why should I listen to a dead God? But if you go with a person who tells you, if you have a Rebbe who is telling you about a living God, then you want that, and he tells you how to be B'Tselem Elokim, then you want that. You want that, especially children who are so alive, they get broken by anything that's dark and it's depressing. They can't bear it. So the yesod of the Tzelem Elokim is Elokim Chaim, that he's a lebedik, a living God, and that one's Yiddishkeit should be lebedik and living. And this time of the year, there's a tremendous amount of siyata d'shmaya to come to that madrega of l'chaim. There's a tremendous amount of siyata d'shmaya to come to that healthy, clear, and beautiful lebedik Yiddishkeit that will make us into Jews that are geshmak, and that give over geshmakkeit to every Jew that comes into our Dalet Amos. We should be zeichah b'ez Hashem, each and every one of us, to have a good parsha zocher and a freilichen purim.